The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome one, welcome all, to the greatest show of them all, as RJ Ochoa, who is not here clearly, usually says. This is Brandon Lee Gauton presenting to you TGI Football here on the SB Nation NFL show, where I'm usually joined by the aforementioned RJ Ochoa and Steven Sturda. We have a special guest today. Before I get to him, I will tell you this show is brought to you, is sponsored by our good friends at DraftKings. Stay tuned because you'll hear more about DraftKings and all it has to offer during the show. DraftKings, the crown is yours. My special guest here is the one, the only, former co-host of the Oddcast here on the SB Nation NFL show, rest in peace, and a former member of the Look Ahead, which has now become TGI Football. That's one Rob Stats Guerrera. Stats, I think this is the first time I'm talking to you in like a public kind of platform since the 49ers lost the Super Bowl. How are you holding up?
Thanks for bringing that up. I'm really glad that you came right out of the gate with one of the most painful memories for me. Thanks.
I mean, I had to deal with it last year, so it's only fair that I get to throw it in your face. And look, you know, obviously the 49ers had the Eagles number, really had everyone's number in the NFC. And I pointed that out to you leading up to the Super Bowl, right? I said, like, the impressive part about the 49ers making it to the Super Bowl is they beat every team in the NFC playoff picture, either in the playoffs or during the regular season. So, like, for as much as I like to hate on the 49ers, I did say they deserve to be there. They earned their spot more than anyone to be there. I know that sounds like common sense because they were there. But there was, and obviously, you know, you can say whatever, fluky, comeback in the championship game, whatever you want to say. But bigger picture, the resume they had was the best resume.
It was the only time I've ever been doing this job. I mean, you know me. You literally texted me 5 minutes ago and asked me to do the show. I will talk football anywhere, anytime. It is the only time in my life where I didn't want to work the next day. I didn't want to talk about football anymore. Like, that has never happened to me before.
I get it. I was there last year. The Eagles had to do two new coordinator searches the next day because they lost both of their coordinators.
Yep.
And I'm like, I'm not ready to talk about this. The Super Bowl, we just lost the Super Bowl. 2023, who cares? I don't care about next season. I'm not over this season. So in any case, as Stats mentioned there, kind of doing things on the fly here because RJ had to drop out short notice. We hope he feels better soon. Steven wasn't able to make today's show. Shout out to our wonderful producer, Rachel Prevett, behind the glass here, keeping things going. Stats, I figure I know you, so that's always nice. Figure we can just riff a little bit, but also, I mean, we should probably have a topic. That's how a podcast show typically works. So I figured we could get into some futures bets too, provided by our great friends at DraftKings Sportsbook, and kind of use that as a little bit of a look ahead, if you will, to the next season here. So why don't we just start it? We were talking about the 49ers anyway, and I was surprised when I looked this up. The 49ers are somehow betting favorites to win, or at least, yeah, to win the Super Bowl in 2025, which seems crazy to me because I know they're a really good team that was just in the Super Bowl, but like I've been saying with the Eagles, it's just so hard to get back, I think, especially as the loser, to have that baggage and that weight on you. And also just the idea that, like, you needed, I did say, you know, the 49ers had a great resume. I believe in that. but they also had some of the breaks go their way too, which is what any championship team typically has at some point. It's not just pure 100% deserved it. There's luck involved in football, as we know. So what do you make of the 49ers being favored like that?
I don't care. Like, I'm tired of it, to be honest with you. Like, this has been a really good team for a really long time, but I just feel like this whole regular season for the 49ers was like, whatever, like, get to the playoffs, get the number one seed, get to the playoffs, get back to the championship game, get back to the Super Bowl. And we had to go through all that, and they finally did it. And they had every possible, up until the Super Bowl, everything went their way, pretty much. They got everything that they wanted to get. They were relatively healthy going into that game. It was all set, and they still couldn't get it done. So it's like, if you can't win it in that year, like, I don't care that they're favored to win it all next year. Why should they be favored to win it all?
Right.
I mean, how many times are we going to go through this? I've seen this movie before. So, I mean, look, I'm rooting for it, of course, but do I expect it? Absolutely not.
Yeah, I just, like, they're at plus 550. That's above the Chiefs at plus 600. I mean, how are the Chiefs not number one? I know winning three Super Bowls in a row is hard, but if anyone could do it, don't you think it's Patrick Mahomes? That, honestly, maybe I'm making too much of just a post-game comment. I know, having watched previous Super Bowls, including the Eagles Super Bowl that they won, there's always that talk of, we're not done yet, we're going to do it again. Like, so teams typically do that.
Yep.
But I swear there was a different energy to what Patrick Mahomes said, because he said it right after the game too. It was like the first thing that was on his mind after they won the Super Bowl. And again, if there's a guy who could pull off that three-peat, I think it's very much him.
In order to do that, you need to have that sort of, it's a special mentality. It is a poorly adjusted mentality. Like, Tom Brady had it. Tom Brady, what's your favorite championship, right? The next one. That's how he was wired. Not everybody's built like that. And not every great player is built like that. That's what made Brady so good, is that not only did he have the physical and the mental skills, but he also had the drive and the motivation and the competitiveness. Mahomes appears like he has that also, and that's a scary thought. I mean, look, you could say no one's ever three-peated, and that's true, but Mahomes has been to at least the AFC Championship every single year he's been a starter. Like, he is not like other people. And you could make the argument that their offense last year was as bad as it's going to be under Patrick Mahomes. So I don't put it past them. They're my pick in the AFC right now. I don't care what else happens this offseason.
Yeah, I was talking to Steven here on TGI Football, I guess not too long after the Super Bowl. Just like the feeling of how so much of what we're talking about here, please keep listening to be clear, but like, so much of what we're talking about or analyzing the draft and all these free agency signings and whatever, like, just doesn't matter maybe because of Mahomes. It just, because like you're talking about, it's not just, you know, winning two Super Bowls in a row, but being in the AFC Championship game every year. And also the years they lost, like, what, one was to Tom Brady in overtime, another one was to Joe Burrow, and like, very close game at the end. Mm-hmm. It's even if you do beat him, it takes a grueling effort, or it takes, you know, like, a very top quarterback to just to get there, to be in that spot, to maybe do it. So it kind of just makes everything feel futile here. But okay, so if we're saying the 49ers, we don't love them as the favorites in terms of being to go back to the Super Bowl or win the Super Bowl from the NFC, at least, who would you say should be in that spot?
That's where this gets weird, because I look at all the other teams and I'm like, really? Like, I don't know. You know, Detroit was in the NFC Championship game, but I don't look at them like, oh, they're going to be competing for the NFC Championship every year. Like, I think there's a real possibility that they don't win the North next year, and that they're fighting for a playoff spot in reality. And it's, you know, I don't think that's crazy. I think the Packers probably have the best argument. They're super young. I don't know if this is true, but I thought I saw something that said they don't have a player that's over the age of 28 on their entire team, which, if that's true, that would be amazing.
Let me look that up.
But they are incredibly young. They have a really good head coach. They have a quarterback that clearly has potential. I'm not willing to crown Jordan Love just yet, especially with the way his season ended, but clearly he has potential. He doesn't stink. Their defense, I think, will be better. Obviously, they still have the draft coming up. I think the Packers, I guess I would pick, would probably be the team. But I don't think that it's like there's a head and shoulders favorite in the NFC.
So I see Preston Smith here still on the Packers roster. He's 31.
Okay.
But after that, everyone is 28, so maybe it's just aside from him. And I'm guessing some of those players will be turning 29 this season. So if you want to get real technical, but still, that's to your point. You know, they were the youngest team in the league last year, and I think we saw that like come to pass in that, you know, weren't their final form out of the gate to start the season. Mm-hmm. Had some struggles there. It looked like they weren't, I think most people, like, I think they were what, 4-7 or something. There was a point there where it was like, they're probably not even going to make the playoffs, whatever. And all of a sudden they finished the season on a pretty high note. I mean, going down to Dallas and dominating them like they did was crazy and eye opening, especially for such a young team I was reading the stats before that round and it came back to burn me in terms of CJ Stroud, in terms of Jordan Love, these quarterbacks who don't have playoff experience going up against quarterbacks who do. Typically, that is, the cards are extremely stacked against the guy who has not had a playoff experience, just historically speaking. So for them to do that was incredible. They're actually third here in the DraftKings futures standings, just behind the Lions, like you mentioned. I do think there's something to the Lions where, like, how much of last year was not like fake, but how much of it was almost their year in some ways, right? Like, not in terms of they didn't get it ultimately done, but just like in the same way that you might be able to say the Bills when they were, you know, 13 seconds away, like that was kind of that was the chance. If you were going to do it, it was going to be then, because that was the best chance you had, and certainly haven't been able to come back to that same level since then. So yeah, I think that's fair to say. And yeah, I don't think it's crazy to say like the Packers could win the NFC North. I guess we're probably not feeling too hot about the Bears or Vikings in comparison. But,
no.
Yeah.
And the Bears are getting way too much love, by the way. Their defense looks really, really good. But we don't know if Caleb Williams can play. Like, we have no idea. And if you go back and look in the draft, go back the last at least 10, 12 years. Usually the first quarterback picked in the draft is not good. Is not the best quarterback in their draft class. It's true. I went back and looked at it. I mean, Trevor Lawrence probably wins 2021, which, I mean, he wins by default, basically. And then Andrew Luck in 2012 was the first quarterback picked. I think he was the best quarterback in that class. But other than that, the first quarterback picked is usually not the best quarterback in that class and usually is not even good. So let's see with Caleb Williams. And by the way, even if he is good, he's going to be a rookie. So I just think we're way too fast on the Bears right now.
Okay, where was this energy with Trey Lance when Trey Lance was coming in? You're like, all they need is Trey Lance and he's going to be great. And even though he's a rookie, he can take them far.
Is the Bears roster compared with the 49ers roster in any way?
No, of course not. But I do think the Bears, I do agree with you on Caleb Williams and don't totally know what to make of him. But I do think, if you're looking for a team where we talked about the opposite of last year's Vikings, remember how the Vikings were like, oh, this team is obviously going to fall off. Mm-hmm. Their point differential, DVOA, they outperform that. They're the classic regression team. I think the Bears are the opposite of that. And if you look at the kind of those more underlying metrics, they actually point to them taking a little bit of a step forward this year. Now, again, the quarterback is a big variable there. And if that's not tenable at all, then that's a big problem. But I do think sometimes people discount the ability that a rookie quarterback can have in terms of an energizing factor, like we just saw with CJ Stroud. Now that's the high end, obviously, of what a rookie quarterback you could reasonably expect from them. But there is something to be said for like that shot in the arm to an organization. And I think Justin Fields, as you know, stats, by the way, come on, how, like, was I more right than anything on anything ever in my life? I've been wrong about so much that I have to take credit for the wins where I can get them. And I think there's something to Justin Fields being such a negative, because obviously he's talented and can run around and make some plays sometimes. But there's just something to, like, he's taking these devastating sacks and turning the ball over. And you've said in the past, like, your boy Jameis Winston, you know, like, kind of being that turnover kind of person. There's just such, like, a weight, I think, on expectations, on the team, on the offense as a whole, where just kind of almost getting rid of that negative itself is a big positive, let alone adding a young, talented quarterback.
You're going addition by subtraction there?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. Yes.
You were 100% right on Justin Fields. He stinks. He stinks. I don't know why people don't want to say it. He stinks. He's the not NFL's, any good.
The NFL spoke on that. Sorry to cut you off, but like the NFL, now that doesn't mean the NFL is 100% right. The NFL gets things wrong. We should acknowledge that the NFL thinks he stinks. That's inarguable. the idea, and I know you'll back me up on this because, you know, our good friend Ben Solak from The Ringer, who's like a big Justin, probably the biggest Justin Fields guy last week, was tweeting about how, like, oh, yeah, the Bears had better offers that they just didn't want to take because they wanted to do right by Justin Fields. Dude, come on. Like, when do teams act in the best interest of players in spite of their own? That is so pathetic. The league, like, Justin Fields got only traded for a 6-round pick that can turn into a 4 potentially. Because they think he stinks, like you said.
By the way, the quarterback that got traded for the most out of that class is Trey Lance. He went for a 4th-round pick, which is absurd.
It's true.
4 starts, he went for a 4th-round pick. But no, I agree on Justin Fields. Solak is out of his mind. Oh, I'll be wrong on the guy that can run a 4-3. Great, Ben. You're wrong. He can't. That's like St. Elmo's Steakhouse being known for their cocktail sauce. Justin Fields can run really fast. Guess what? He can't throw. The steakhouse got to be known for their steak. Justin Fields, he can't throw. He can't do it. Like, he can't play the position. So all these people are talking about, oh, the Steelers are so good, blah, blah, blah. Give me a break. They got 2 stinky quarterbacks in Pittsburgh.
Oh, man. Your boy Russ, I mean, we've talked about it here, even in recent episodes, too, about how Russell Wilson never recovered from the interview you did with him here for the SB Nation. It's true stats. That's not even like a joke. Like, he had that interview with you, which is a fantastic interview, and I think holds up over time because that's what interviews should be. It should be people like you, like, you know, not just giving softballs, but like kind of grilling him in a respectful way, mostly. And to Russ's credit too, he played the game. He understood what you were doing and he shoved it right back at you. So that's what entertainment is too. So good on both of you. But yeah, with Justin Fields, it's just like, okay, how much of a sample size do we need to see for you to finally admit that you're wrong? And I think the goalposts were kind of moved too. Obviously, I respect our good friend Ben Solak. I'm not trying to say he's, you know, wrong about everything just because this is
right.
A hill he is wrong to die on. But it's just like, I saw some goalposts moving in his defense of him where it's like, oh, I'm not saying he'll be a top 10 quarterback. I mean, okay, yeah. So, like, what's your argument? Like, he might be able to be, like, a replacement level starter? Is that really, like, what the hill you're dying on now? Okay, great. And also, I lost it, stats. Save me here. Well, what's your final thoughts?
My final thoughts are the same things people are saying about Justin Fields are the same things they were saying about Sam Darnold. It's the same things we say about every highly drafted quarterback, right? Well, you didn't have a good coach. You didn't have a good team. Yeah, because the quarterback stinks and those guys get fired and they get traded and they get cut. Like, it's not just your environment. It's also a lot on you. And, I mean, help. Sam Darnold he's going to get another starting job in Minnesota, which is insane.
That's insane.
With highly drafted quarterbacks, this is generally what happens, right? It doesn't work out, but people say, well, they've got X physical skills. They were drafted high. I can fix him, right? That's usually what happens, which, by the way, is what makes what happened to Trey Lance even more amazing that he was gone after 4 career starts. But this is what happens, but we just need to move on. We need to admit Sam Darnold's not any good. Justin Fields isn't any good. There's going to be 4 quarterbacks drafted maybe in the first 4 picks this year. 3 of them probably won't be any good. Maybe if 2 of them are good, that's a pretty good success rate in terms of quarterback classes in a draft. We just have to prepare ourselves for that because that's what NFL history shows us.
I think it's hard to ignore that. Well, first of all, more than one thing can be true. I think that's like the ultimate more than one thing can be true. Was Justin Fields given every possible tool he needed to succeed? No, that's not the case. He was not gifted the best situation ever. Did he make the most of the situation he had? No, not even close. Not even close to doing that. So anyway, no, I like the shot for the Steelers because, yeah, you give up a 6-round pick. Like, who really cares? Mm-hmm. I think you don't have – your other option is Russell Wilson, which I think he'll actually be better than probably you do this year. I think they could still be, again, like, I think they could be in the mix for a wild card spot. I think they could be in that range, especially because they never lose under Mike Tomlin, apparently.
They also never win.
That is fair, and I do think it's – we have to get to a point here – and I'm sure Steelers fans are there. I don't doubt this because, you know, it's one thing for you and I or the national people, whatever, non-Steelers fans to be like, wow, isn't that so impressive? They never have a losing season. And the Steelers fans are like, yeah, but we haven't won anything in a long time. So, yeah, it does feel like there's going to, you know, have to be a point here where they actually even like win a playoff game. When was the last time they did that? It's been a while, right?
They haven't won a playoff game since 2017. Well, I don't know if they played in the wild. They lost in the divisional round that year. I don't know if they played in the wild card. No, they were 13-3. They probably didn't. So that's 2016. They lost in the conference title game.
So it's been a while here. They're due. Why don't we stick with the AFC? And so obviously the Chiefs, we both spoke highly of them. I think they're going to win the Super Bowl again, to be honest. But and at plus 600, you know, not a bad bet if you want to put down $100 on that and win some money. But who would you say, if any team has a chance of dethroning the Chiefs, who is it? And mind you, our producer here is a Ravens fan, so keep that in mind.
Look, you know, I've been on Lamar's bandwagon, but I think their defense could be worse this season. Baltimore's defense. I don't think Derrick Henry, like, he doesn't really, he's good, but he's still a running back. I think I got to go with either Buffalo or Cincinnati.
Really? Buffalo just feels like they've taken such a step back, right? Like, maybe it's good to shed some older players and whatnot, but it doesn't feel like what they've done this offseason has propelled them any closer. If anything, I just feel like they've gotten a little bit further. Josh Allen is obviously so excellent, just like Lamar is in the regular season, which I've been saying for a long time now. The drop off is significant, but obviously those two teams will be certainly in contention for the number one seed. But I think you're right with Cincy. I think Cincy is the call. Now, you know, we're kind of making a leap of faith here, right? In terms of Joe Burrow being healthy, like getting back to what he was. Mm-hmm. And we're also, you know, we don't know how the T. Higgins thing is going to shake out. Maybe that doesn't matter a ton to you. I don't know. We'll see. I think Tyler Boyd is still a free agent. So, you know, there's going to be some change there. But you would go with Cincy?
Cincy, I think so. Part of it too is like, if you're going to take down a giant, we were talking about, you know, Mahomes and his competitiveness and that frame of mind. If you're going to take that guy down, you got to have a certain attitude yourself. And we know Joe Burrow has it for sure. Sneaky choice. And just looking at the odds here, considering they're plus 1200, maybe Houston, maybe the Texans can do it. I love D'Amico Ryans. Obviously, I'm a little biased because he was the D coordinator of my Niners, but we saw what he did in year one. CJ Stroud is great. He lost a bunch of weapons too at the end of last year. You know, so if they can get there and get back and be a little healthier, they've made a bunch of good, smart additions this offseason. Danielle Hunter, I absolutely loved. I'm thinking maybe Houston can be, you know, I wouldn't be stunned to see them in the NFC or the AFC title game next year.
What was that number you said on them? Because I'm seeing them at plus 25 here, plus 2,500.
I'm sorry. They're plus 1,200 to win the AFC.
Gotcha.
My bad. I was looking at the wrong numbers.
No, good. Yeah, because I was looking at the Super Bowl and I was like, at plus 2,500 here.
Ooh.
I mean, I feel like that's maybe a little bit of a sucker's bet, though. Like, that, those odds feel longer than they should be, which might be telling you something, that it's like, okay, maybe they're accounting for the CJ Stroud sophomore slump a little bit. Not that he's going to suck, but, you know, maybe take a little bit of a step back. That can happen after some rookie seasons aren't always as predictive as we would hope them to be. But I'm looking at the other long shot bets here, like, from that range, the Texans there, you have the Chargers at plus 3,000, the Bears at plus 3,000. Rams are plus 3,500. That's actually, I don't know. I mean,
not without Aaron Donald.
You don't like it? Aaron Donald's loss is a big deal. That is true. But Kobe Turner is the next Aaron. No, he's not the next Aaron Donald. But I mean, if you're talking yourself into a long shot, let's say a team that has plus 3,000 odds or longer here.
Okay.
Like, is there any team you could, I think if you have to say that's the team I'll talk myself into as a long shot, I think the Rams. And I know they're closer to that 3,000, so that, maybe that's not the boldest thing. But I'm like trying to look here and try to talk myself into one of these teams. It's them. Is it the Jags?
No.
That's tough. Is it the Steelers? You're going to say no to that.
No. Yeah, at that line that you made there, the plus 3,000, the only other team I might give a shot to and to win it all seems unlikely, but the Chargers with Harbaugh. And that's only because of Harbaugh, the Harbaugh factor. He came in to a 49ers team in 2011 that had not been good. He came in with no offseason because it was the lockout, no contact with his team whatsoever. And they come in and they get to the NFC Championship game, bam, right off the bat, Jim Harbaugh comes in. I don't know how the hell he did it, but he did it. And so and he certainly has a much better quarterback with the Chargers than he had with the friggin' 49ers. No disrespect to Alex Smith, but Justin Herbert is miles ahead of him. I don't know how he does it, but maybe Harbaugh gets the Chargers there. They're at plus three. They're right on that line at plus 3,000.
I swore off the Chargers last year because I could just like, you know, I do it every year. I'm one of the people who just like wants to talk myself, and I couldn't do it last year. But as soon as they hired Harbaugh, and you and I have talked about this like over the years randomly, I don't know why, but I think, I mean, you obviously because you used to be the coach of your team, me just from afar, I've always had respect for him. And I thought the NFL was honestly more fun when he was in it and all the memes and the gifs of him going crazy on the sideline and the Jim Schwartz stuff after the game. Like the NFL is, I think, a better place when Jim Harbaugh is in the league. It's just more fun, more entertaining. So I am looking forward to him being back in general. I do think if there is something to finally turn the Chargers around, maybe it's the guy who just wins in the NFL and wins in general. Maybe it's that guy. Maybe that's like finally the missing piece that they could have there. So I don't hate that from you. If I'm going even longer long shot odds, how about the Colts at plus 6,000? Okay. You know, it's obviously tenuous, but division's not like a lock for anyone else by the means. I mean, the Texans are there. They had a good year last year, but would you say like the Colts can't overtake them? Definitely. It's impossible. I don't think that's true. The Jags, you didn't feel great about, you just said. The Titans, I'm not making much of the Titans right now.
Agreed.
And we've seen quarterbacks in second years. Think about Carson Wentz. Jalen Hurts in his second year of starting. That's obviously two Eagles quarterbacks. There's quarterbacks who have that kind of second-year jump. What if Anthony Richardson is that guy? What if he comes in and is just electric? And also, hey, if he has to miss time or whatever, they also have a guy who was pretty magical last year in Joe Flacco. So there you go. I think that's maybe the longest long shot bet I would maybe even consider.
Well, first of all, I'm not shocked to hear you pick a team that's coached by a former Eagles coordinator as your longest.
And Shane Steichen, yeah.
But Shane Steichen has shown the ability to maximize what a quarterback can do.
Right.
And maybe he can with Anthony Richardson. I mean, Richardson certainly has physical tools there to mold. I mean, the guy is a freak athlete. I don't know. I wonder if he'll be able to stay healthy. He's a very physical player. His play style is a very physically taxing play style. But if he can stay healthy, there's no reason why they can't win that division, honestly.
Well, on the topic of divisions, why don't we go to some division odds here? I'll let you switch over to your division odds tab. You were looking at the conference winners earlier. We'll just go with your division first. Why don't we just pick a division winner for each division? Why not? Way too early for agency, or at least the bet that we like maybe the most, if not the winner. You have the 49ers. They're the favorites at minus 195. Are they going to win? How many they've won the division? How many years in a row? Or how many years out of the past many years?
Well, they won it last year, but I don't think they won it the year before that because
the Rams,
and they've had some slow starts recently, but the Niners are winning the West this year. The Rams are the Rams are the second best team in the division. And I'm more worried about the Seahawks now with Mike McDonald, because I feel like Kyle Shanahan had Pete Carroll's number. Like he cracked the code there. So I think they're building something in Seattle, but as long as they have Geno Smith, I'm not considering them a real contender. So the Rams are going to be tougher, but the loss of Aaron Donald is massive for them. So the Niners will win the NFC West this year.
I'm intrigued by Mike McDonald and what he might be able to do with the Seahawks, but I'm just not a Geno guy at this point.
Nope.
So I can't do that. But like if they had a different quarterback, maybe I might talk myself into it a little bit more. Like just obviously they'd have better odds or shorter odds if they had a better quarterback. But I think I actually like the Rams the most in terms of the bet, like in terms of the value at plus 330 as opposed to the 49ers at minus 195.
Yeah.
I just think Stafford could have another big year. I know they lost Aaron Donald. That's a really big deal. But as I kind of joked about with Kobe Turner, Rams are just like, they have something to it when it comes to drafting, even though they don't have the draft picks. And honestly, wait, don't they finally have a first round pick again or whatever? So, hey, maybe they can actually take some of that draft capital and actually get an even better player and turn it into something there. I will take the Rams in an upset. And I just think, again, having seen the weight of a Super Bowl losing season on the Eagles, I think that's going to weigh on the 49ers a little bit. I think that could cause them to stumble a bit more than they did last year. Why don't we go with the NFC East? The Cowboys are the favorites at +125. Right behind them.
How are they the favorites?
They've done nothing in free agency except get worse. They collapsed again in the playoffs. Their head coach is on the hot seat. They're in a division where famously there's not been a repeat winner since 2004, 20 years ago. So it is kind of funny that they're the favorite, because it's like, you're really betting against history if you're going to say that's going to happen. But again, they're only very slightly above the Eagles at +135. So do you think it's one of those two teams, or do you think that the Commanders or Giants rise from the ashes?
It's weird, but I think the best head coach in the division is Brian Daboll. Like, wow. I'm so down on Sirianni. When I heard that that the reason the Eagles season spiraled was because Big Dom wasn't there to hold on to Nick Sirianni's hand because he couldn't control himself during game. I mean, come on. That is ugly. And the fact that I don't like the way the Eagles have basically cleaned house and said it's everybody else's fault other than Nick Sirianni, I really don't like that. And I think you might have the best roster in the division, which is crazy. Sure. But I hate your head coach. I hate him. I not as a person, but just I don't like the vibe there with him.
How do you feel about the Saquon signing? Because I think the Eagles' goal there, in no small part, is kind of like, I think they're kind of hoping. I think they saw what Christian McCaffrey was for the 49ers, and I'll take the L on that one, because I didn't like that trade for the 49ers at the time, and I said that, so I'll take the W on Justin Fields with the L on Christian McCaffrey. But I think that's what they think Saquon might be able to be for them.
That's this is no disrespect to Saquon Barkley, but like, you're talking about somebody that scored 31 touchdowns in less than two seasons. He's played 26 regular season games, 27 for the 49ers, and he has 31 touchdowns. So, you know, that's a tall order for anybody to live up to. I think it's a fine signing. I don't know that he's going to have that effect necessarily. And I don't really know, honestly, if you're Nick Sirianni, do you want to use Saquon Barkley as much as Christian McCaffrey has been used? Christian McCaffrey had 339 touches last year. That led the NFL. You don't need to use Saquon Barkley that much for him to be effective. So I think it's a good signing. I like the fact that it also weakens somebody else in your division. That's always nice when you can do that. Your leadership, man, the fish stinks from the head is what my grandfather used to say. I don't love that. Fortunately, Dallas is just as bad.
Yeah, I have a tough time with this, because I do think that the Cowboys, you know, again, just history tells us they're not going to just so easily win the division again. And that seems to put the Eagles in the best position by default. But the Sirianni thing concerns me. And I know, you know, they hired the two new coordinators, and I like those coordinator hires, and I like the talent on the roster still. I think Jalen Hurts will probably be better than he was last year. So there's reason for upside to me, but I think the head coach thing will manifest the most, though, when it comes to, unfortunately, like the playoffs and the biggest games. I think that's the kind of, it's going to be, because, you know, it's a fine line. Like, winning a championship, you have to, you know, give yourself every kind of chance and give your team an edge, which I've said, and we both said, you know, Kyle Shanahan has struggled with, and I worry Nick Sirianni might ultimately be in that boat as well. Okay, let's wrap out let's keep going in the NFC with the NFC South. The Falcons are with Raheem Morris and your boy Kirk Cousins, who is a total loser, at -130. I mean,
book it. He's,
okay. Yeah.
Yep. The Falcons are the best team in that division. They're winning that division. I think with Kirk there and the skill players they have in Atlanta, I think all those guys are going to go nuts. I think Cousins is going to throw for 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns, because that's what he does every year. Kyle Pitts is going to catch a bunch. Bijan Robinson, I think, is going to go through the roof from a fantasy perspective. Drake London's a solid player. I think Atlanta's winning the division easily.
Bucks are the next closest here at +300. It feels hard to count on like Baker having that good of a season again, right? I think that they'll be respectable. I don't think they're going to fall off a cliff and have like a top five pick or anything. I just think they're kind of going to be more of what they were last year in terms of a middling team that ultimately, you know, finished the season relatively strong compared to what their expectations were, and to make it to the divisional round and play a pretty competitive game, fairly so, against the Lions in Detroit there, was nice and all, but Yeah, I think that's fair to say. Kirk Cousins, as I always say, beats the bad teams and then loses to the good ones. So the Falcons will win the division and then promptly get smoked in the first playoff game that they play.
That seems pretty realistic.
With the NFC North, which we kind of said earlier that we're both... So the Lions are the favorites at plus 150. I mean, how do you not take the Packers at plus 210? I mean, you're getting the better odds there. And by the way, the Bears only right behind them at plus 265, whereas the Vikings are all the way down at plus 1,000. Yeah, I'm taking the Packers here at plus 210 over the Lions at plus 150.
I love that number. If everybody stays healthy for the... You're telling me if I plunk down $100 and the Packers win a division, I get 210? Shut up and take my money, like, easily.
Are you going to feel foolish for maybe betting on who is arguably the best quarterback in the division, or at least like the highest ceiling of quarterback we've seen in that division? Yeah, I like the Packers there. We already kind of talked about them, so we don't have to go as deep into them. We'll wrap or we'll finish this activity with the AFC. Why don't we start with the AFC North with the aforementioned Ravens, who are the favorites at plus 115. The Bengals are behind them at plus 165. You said you liked the Bengals earlier.
Yeah. Man.
But this is win division, you know, to be clear. This is, right. You know, win. So the playoffs don't matter as much.
It's very, very difficult because now I'm like, who do I feel like can stay healthy? Burrow or Lamar? Lamar had been banged up the past couple of years. Last year he stayed healthy. I guess I'll go with Burrow. This division is all, even the Steelers play these teams tough in the division. So it's really like,
yeah,
I feel like it's a crapshoot. I would not bet this just cause I don't feel super confident in any of the teams, to be honest with you. Like I would avoid it because I think it's going to be one or two games is going to tip the whole division. And then it could literally be one or two plays.
It's such a bummer that the Browns quarterback situation is what it is because they have a lot of other things going for them that you would think they'd be a fun team you could root for, a legitimate threat. Defense is awesome. And Deshaun Watson, obviously, you can't reconcile a lot of things off the field. And then also just as a player, I mean, he stunk. He's been not tenable. And it should be incredibly alarming for Browns fans that Joe Flacco looked as good as he did, 39-year-old Joe Flacco, when Deshaun Watson couldn't come close to looking like that. So that is such a bummer there. They signed Tyler Huntley. They signed Jameis. So in theory, they have options they can pivot to, but not really. And actually probably making a real run. They're at plus 600. Is it fair to say, Stats, that, and I'm looking here at the odds of the, yeah, they have the shortest odds of any team that has the longest odds in their division. You got me there?
Yep.
So any team that has the worst shot of winning their division from an odds perspective is the Steelers at plus 850. If you had to make a bet, let's say you got a free bet from DraftKings. Sometimes they do like a promo where you get like a free $10 or whatever bonus bet. Let's say you had a free $10 bonus bet. Would you put that down? If you had to put it down on a team that had the worst odds in the division, would you put it on the Steelers?
No.
Okay.
Because I
would put it on
if worst odds in the division. I think I would put it on the
You're
Giants.
Okay. Yeah. They're +1,000.
And I wouldn't feel great about that either, but because the other three teams in that North, like I wouldn't be stunned if any of those teams won it. Although I do want to point out about the Browns, their defense at home gave up 14 points a game. Their defense on the road gave up 29.
Yep.
Really weird. Like, I don't know why they forget how to play defense on the road. And that carried over into the playoff game. Also, I just don't understand it, but that was a very weird and very real thing.
I think there might be something to how Jim Schwartz's defense is deployed, because back when he was the defensive coordinator of the Eagles had like they had allowed the fewest points at home since he was hired back in 2016. I think until basically up until the end of his tenure, or maybe before that final season where the Eagles were really bad that year. But I don't know. Maybe it's just like, you know, being able to get off the snap count earlier or whatever, the crowd noise really helps his style, especially.
I guess
just a theory.
I can't explain it. I have no explanation for it. So whatever you want to put forward, I'm on board.
Let's just go with what I said. Okay, that brings us to the AFC East, where the Bills are favorite at plus 135. The Dolphins are next at plus 210. Jets right behind them at plus 235. And the Patriots are all the way down at plus 2,500.
Woo! Wow, that's crazy. I think I got to go Jets, just best value in the division, plus 235. Again, this assumes that Aaron Rodgers is going to stay healthy. If he stays healthy, I mean, first of all, I think Garrett Wilson is like I think Garrett Wilson is really good, and he has been so restrained by just the gross pit of despair that was Jets quarterbacking. I think if Aaron Rodgers stays healthy at all, Garrett Wilson is going to be, he could lead the NFL in receiving yards easily. I love him. I like Breece Hall. I like Breece Hall with the Jets. Their defense we know is good. And I think their defense will be even better because if Aaron Rodgers is on the field, the Jets defense is not going to be coming back on the field every three plays like they were last year. So I think the Jets at plus 235 is the best value for that bet.
I think I agree. I like the offseason they've had in terms of adding Tyron Smith. That's a really nice, you know, he is going to get hurt inevitably. It's just going to happen based when you look at his career, but he might be able to give you like 12, 13 games of really good left tackle play, which is a big upgrade from what they've had. Aaron Rodgers, when I talked about Zach Wilson earlier, or Justin Fields earlier being addition by subtraction, I think Zach Wilson is very much addition by subtraction. Obviously a huge upgrade there, even if Aaron Rodgers isn't what he was the last time we saw him at his best. He is just still a big upgrade from what we have seen from the Jets quarterback position for some time now. And I like the Mike Williams signing. Now, again, it's a risk. He could get hurt, but I think it could click. I can see the vision where it comes together. I can see that,
yes,
which I think is worth making the bet. I can see the Bills taking the step back, like I said earlier. The Dolphins, I don't know, maybe I'm kind of discounting them too much. It just doesn't feel like you feel strongly one way or the other on them. Obviously, the Patriots aren't a factor here. So, sure, why not? Let's go with the Jets at plus 235.
I don't know why they didn't do this last year, but I like the fact that the Jets went out and got Tyrod Taylor to be the backup quarterback. They actually have a living, breathing human being that can play quarterback for them if Aaron Rodgers does get hurt. Like, he's not going to turn the ball over. That's the one thing you can say about Tyrod Taylor is he's not going to turn the ball over. So I like that move by them also. I feel like Miami's defense is kind of taking some hits this offseason. I have no confidence in Miami in the cold. Now, granted, we're talking about division winner, but yeah, I think the Jets is the best number there. 235 is too good to pass up for me.
The Jets were 7-10 last year with Zach Wilson and Tim Boyle, right, in there for a little bit.
God.
What would their record be if they had Tyrod instead of – let's say Tyrod was their full season starter last year.
They'd
be better than 7-10.
Yeah, I think they probably win 8 or 9 games.
Yeah, like 9-8.
Yeah, I think
that's true.
I just – he's not going to be the complete disaster. There were games where the defense would try and hand the Jets offense the game on a silver platter, and the Jets would just tip the platter over and keep finding ways to lose.
That has to be so demoralizing. And I remember watching games like that, and just I feel like you could see it on the Jets players' faces. Like, to their credit, actually, I think they did a good job of trying to keep the energy as long as possible. But after you get like your, let's just say, seventh stop, and you're like fired up about it, but you just know the offense can't do anything. I mean, at what point, you have to eventually, and even in what? I think it was the Black Friday game that really crystallized that. It was just like they could not do anything, and it was just incredibly demoralizing and pathetic.
Okay. I was, real quick story. So I was hosting on ESPN Radio on Sunday, I believe it was week 15. It was the Jets at Miami. And I was hosting their football show with Herm Edwards and Mike Tannenbaum. And they all show, I'm trying to get them to like talk about the games that are going on. And both of them are locked into the Jets game as they just continue to spiral and get get destroyed against the Dolphins. They lost 30-0. And they just couldn't get over. Every time something would happen, they would just completely interrupt what I was saying and comment about the Jets game.
Let's go to the AFC West, where we're taking the Chiefs, obviously, at minus 210, I'm guessing. Although the Chargers are next closest at plus 275. And then, you have the Raiders down there at plus 1,200 and the Broncos at plus 15. Do you like the Chargers value enough to take them?
No, because it's just okay. Mahomes. Like, ordinarily, if it was any other quarterback, I would love the Chargers at that number. But it's the Chiefs, man. You have Andy Reid. You have Patrick Mahomes. You have Steve Spagnuolo, who I feel like it's started to get a little of the credit after the Super Bowl last year. Maybe the best big game defensive coordinator of all time. That triumvirate there, I almost don't care who the players are. 15 is there and those coaches are there. I can't go against the Chiefs.
It sounds so like reductive, right? It sounds like we're not even like people who follow the NFL closely when you right. say something like that, because it's just so like the lowest hanging possible fruit, but it's true. It's true. And ultimately, I find it hard to disagree with you. If I want to get creative, if I had to do something else, which I don't, I would root for the fun maybe of the Chargers. But so little peek behind the curtain here. I think, as you know, maybe you don't know, I typically emotional hedge bet or I do the, you know, an emotional.
You?
Yeah.
No.
I know. Hard to believe. But so, you know, but I didn't do that for the Super Bowl. I wanted the 49ers to lose the Super Bowl, but I was like, I will feel like a total fool if I bet against Patrick Mahomes. I can't do that. Like, I'm going to feel like an idiot if I do that. And if he lost and the 49ers won, congrats to them. Fine. But I could not live with myself if I bet against Patrick Mahomes and then he proved me wrong yet again. So thank you, Patrick Mahomes, for making me a good deal of money in the playoffs and also helping the 49ers lose. So I appreciate that. That was really cool of you.
I don't know why you hate the 49ers so much.
What do you mean?
Why do you hate the 49ers?
We don't
so
need to
much?
Relitigate all of this because they're a bunch of loser, whiny, no good. They were complaining leading up to the Super Bowl. Oh, the field. Oh, this. Oh, that. Oh, Nick Bosa. The fire alarms in Philly. They just love to complain.
I mean, I know a team that complained about a field in the Super Bowl.
This is not.
Well, I don't know who it was.
Same thing.
Why not?
It's not the same thing. Because, well, first of all, when you're talking about the tone of, see, you're leading me into a trap here, and I am but a fool and cannot resist the bait. But when the 49ers lost to the Eagles in the championship game, the tone of their messaging was that, like, the Eagles, and I think you'll agree with me on this, the Eagles, like, didn't deserve it. They were lucky. They didn't deserve to be in the Super Bowl. The Eagles never said the Chiefs did not deserve to win the Super Bowl. That is not a sentiment that was
well,
ever
the 49ers
portrayed.
Never said that either.
They basically, I can pull the receipts. That's, I have the receipts. I can get those to you if you want. They that was effectively the sentiment. I 100% stand by that. I did an article for Bleeding Green Nation about this leading up to Eagles 49ers week to refresh my memory. Any case, yeah, the Eagles, I don't think, ever tried to take credit away from the Chiefs. I don't think you can. I think that's inarguable. I think what the Eagles said is their pass rush would have been better if the field conditions were not as terrible. And I think that's fair to say.
Okay, but
it's fair to say they would have more than zero sacks. That's not even a bold claim.
I'm pretty sure the 49ers would have been better if they didn't run out of quarterback. Like, that's not even the same situation. A slippery field is not the same as literally having Christian McCaffrey have to drop back and throw passes. And oh, by the way, when that same quarterback was healthy the next year, we dusted you in your own house.
Okay, it's a different year, first of all. It's a different year. There's different players on the team. The Eagles lost, like, at least four starters, two coordinators. It's not the same thing. It's not apples to apples. And also, yeah, you're right. It is different. The field is something you can't control a ton as a team, whereas you can control protecting your quarterback better, which the 49ers didn't do.
See, that is the other thing, that the Eagles think that they deserve credit for eliminating Brock Purdy from the game.
They do. They had the best pass rush in the NFL.
But it was,
they
it was
the quarterback
a fluke
more than any team.
Injury. Only,
I mean, obviously, it's not, yeah, it's not as simple as, like, I want to hurt the quarterback so I control it. But statistically, if you hit the quarterback more, the quarterback is more prone to getting hurt. Yes,
you don't. But you, first of all, it was like the first drive of the game. So how much did they really hit him? And
but they've done it all season. They were doing it all season. Maybe it didn't happen to every quarterback, but it was bound to happen probably at some point statistically. If you hit the quarterback over and over and over, you're probably going to eventually knock out a quarterback when you do that.
But that's not what happened with Brock Purdy. They hadn't hit him over and over and over again. They got lucky that when they did hit him, his elbow exploded. And I said after the game, the Eagles do not have to apologize for winning the NFC Championship. They don't. They didn't do anything. They didn't do anything illegal to Brock Purdy. They didn't.
Also were up and played like the better team before he got hurt.
It was one drive. The Eagles got the ball first. They had a drive, and then the 49ers had a drive. Like, what are we talking about here?
I don't need to do this. This is multiple seasons ago. Not everyone is here for this.
Did you just hate the 49ers? Like, yeah, that's really losers. Your hatred of the 49ers.
Big loser energy, and I've been validated by the fact that they haven't won the Super Bowl because they have a loser coach, which I know you agree with deep down, at least. Obviously good at schematics and whatnot, but ultimately a loser, which is also a concern potentially with my coach of the, well, not my coach, but the coach of the Eagles, the team I cover. Let's finish this out, stats. We're so good. before you derailed us. Okay, I think we only have one more division, which is the AFC South, which is the Texans favored at 135, plus 135, and then the Jags are plus 210. Right behind them, Colts are plus 280. I mean, give me the Colts, baby. Give me the Colts at plus 280. I think that's the best value. Titans are down at plus
1,100.
Yeah.
I'll take Houston because I'm still getting plus money. Plus 135. I think they have the best quarterback in the division by far. I love D'Amico Ryans, like I said. I'll take Houston. The fact that I get plus money for that, I'm surprised. Are they the Lions are plus money also. Okay, there's a few division winners that are or favorites that are plus money. I'm surprised at that. But plus 135, I have no confidence. Doug Peterson's stock has really dropped for me. I loved that hire when they made it. I was like, you got Trevor Lawrence there. Okay. And it just hasn't come together. I feel like they should be better than they are.
I feel like the collapse at the end of last year for the Jags isn't something that probably got as much national coverage. And I'm not saying the Eagles deserved any less coverage. They deserved all the coverage they got because it was pathetic what happened to them. But I think it's almost like the Jags skirted by a little bit more because everyone, the Eagles are this bigger, I think they're in a bigger, especially coming off a Super Bowl loss. There's, you know, more of a focus on them and just being like, and as I can personally attest to, being annoyed to having cover with so many 8 o'clock games this year. The Eagles were in a bazillion primetime games where the Jags clearly, I think, had what, their first Monday Night Football game like ever or in a long time this year, this past year, something like that. Like, in any case, I think the point being, and it hurts me to say because I love Dougie P, obviously the only Super Bowl winning coach in Eagles history, that I think they've kind of skated by a little bit with the collapse to the end of their season. And really, their offseason has been weird because they just kind of blamed it all on the defense, even though the offense was clearly part of the problem, too. It's like, well, the defense is totally to blame. We're not going to change. Press Taylor being the play caller, who Press Taylor was a problem in Philly as well, the end of the Eagles, Doug's Eagles tenure here. So, yeah, I don't really feel good about the Jags. And I don't really know what to make of Trevor Lawrence at this point. I think he's above average, but I don't know just how good he is. So I'm going to take the Colts ultimately because I'm going to bet on Shane Steichen. I'm going to bet on the upside of Anthony Richardson there. I think the Colts were a team last year where they outperformed their talent level. I think Shane Steichen got more than out of what the talent he had. So I'm going to bet on the Colts with their offseason that they're going to have here, being able to improve a little bit. I think the Texans are still going to be really good. I think it's going to come down to neck and neck, but I do think there could be a little bit of a sophomore slump for them after having, because like what the Texans did last year, there's just like some level of unadulterated joy of like, hey, this is great, right? Like no expectations. We're just having fun. We're having success. There's no real pressure of expectation. Now you have that because you're the favorites here as the division champs, and what CJ Stroud was able to do last year. And I think that could weigh on them a little bit here. So I think the gap's going to close. I would bet on the Colts here, at least when it comes to the best value.
Handling success is a skill, just like handling adversity is a skill. And it's a real thing. So that's a fair point. The Jags lost 5 of 6 to end the year last year. And the only team they beat in that stretch was Carolina. They were putrid down the stretch. They lost to Cincy, Cleveland, Baltimore, Tampa Bay, and Tennessee. You're right. That definitely flew under the radar.
They had the division like wrapped up effectively. Like it was theirs. It was really like it was really pretty much theirs. And that was crazy too, because for a Jags team that had just been the worst team in the NFL in terms of having the number one overall pick, 2 years in a row, to then go back to potentially back-to-back AFC South champion. Obviously the AFC South isn't the best division, but still, to go from that spot to that spot, like that would, the feeling of that is so much better than where they are right now. And it wasn't that far away, but it does really make you wonder what's coming next. Okay, Stats, do you have any final thoughts here on TGI football?
No final thoughts. I miss you. I miss RJ. The 49ers are great. Well, that's it.
Do you really miss RJ?
I do. I miss the look ahead. I'm not going to lie. I've been trying to revive the look ahead, get some sort of show with the three of us, some sort of football show started. We haven't been able to work that out, but I do miss it. Yes, I miss you guys.
The people want it. Tweet at Michael Kist, NFL, to make sure to demand it's back.
That's right.
Or something. We'll figure it out. At some point, I feel like it's the people are clamoring for its Stats. So I appreciate the sentiment, even though you root for the worst, a despicable team in the NFL. I guess I don't have any final thoughts other than I hope everyone has a really good weekend. Stats is putting his 49ers hat on. Stats, I should have obviously said this earlier. Where can the people find your work, both on social media and elsewhere?
I'm on all the socials at Stats on Fire. And if you want the best 49ers coverage anywhere, please check out the Gold Standard Podcast Network. You can check out our YouTube channel. Just search Gold Standard 49ers. It comes right up. Right now, we're doing our 49ers Media Madness bracket. So everybody that covers the 49ers, I put in a giant bracket. There's 64 people in it, and people can vote on who their favorite 49ers content creator is. I'm probably going to be eliminated in round two, but that's okay. You can go check that out on goldstandardniners.com.
Everyone should do it. It's great. Everyone should also follow our wonderful producer, Rachel Privet, on social media at Rachel Monique. And obviously, you can check her workout in addition on the Bleeding Green Nation podcast feed, or you can also check out my work and on bleedinggreennation.com. We'll be back with you here next week. I'm sure either Steven and or RJ will be back. Maybe I'll be here. Who knows what the future holds for us here on the SB Nation NFL show, but we appreciate you listening, rating, reviewing, all those good things. And the only thing left to say, Stats, as I end the show, typically I'll let you do it, is the letters, the first four letters of this program. So, can you do that for me?
TGIF.